Amen. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live on Facebook. I'm sorry, I'm running a little bit behind. We had a wonderful time over at Cass High School this afternoon. We had about 18 that came out and prayer walked for our schools at Bartow County Cass High School. And man, I want to tell you what a wonderful time that we had walking around the principal's office and praying out in the halls. And just a wonderful time. I thank the good Lord for those that came and that was a part of prayer. And I thank God for all of our Bartow County as well. David Franklin, James Black, all of our other pastors, even the pastors today that were preaching on revival. Hey, man, if you didn't catch our message, I think I did a little bit of work on it and flipped it over. I'll put it on sermon audio later and back on Facebook, but straightened it out. And I didn't realize that thing flipped back up on us, but it is good to come to you here tonight. As again, Pastor Darrell Bailey from People's Valley Baptist Church. As we pick back up in our series on the book of James, A Faith That Works. You know, I thank God faith is something that every one of us is always working on. I told you way back that my faith is something that I learned from my mom, watching my mom as well each and every day. And tonight I want to talk to you about how that we prevent arguments. I don't know about you, but sometimes arguments are one of those things of the world that we all deal with. And here tonight, as I'm running into time with running late, I'm going to try to make that up a little bit and change some things around. But before I do anything, let's have a word of prayer. I want you to continue remembering the U. Bradley family where the death angels come into his home. You know, I tell you, what a good man. What, as we said this morning, chivalry set a great example for all of us at People's Valley, all of us men. He loved his wife, and I thank God as he loved the people that are around him. He loved his family, and I thank God he also he loved his neighbor. That's one thing he was always asking me to go over and talk to Dr. Carl Ballou. Man, I tell you, as I had him as a Greek teacher, and man, I thank God, you Bradley, what a man he was. He's where we want to be. He's in the presence of the Lord, amen. And so I want you to just remember them. Remember all of those ones that have had surgery, amen. Earl Matheson, all of our church families that are not able to come right back to church right now because of being careful, amen. And so I thank God tonight, each and every one of you, I want to ask you, please, to remember our church family. And let's just continue to open with a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful tonight to stand on holy ground. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be the clean vessel that you could use tonight. And Lord, touch our church families. Touch those that are listening to us. If not now, later on, Father, as they tune us in. And I pray, God, that this will be something that they can put in their library, their Christian library, that will be a help to them as we learn to prevent arguments. And Lord, that we try to be more mature and Christian in all that we do. Bless the many that are lost that don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And Lord, I pray tonight, I give you thanks for my family. Watch over each and every one of us. May we continue to walk faithful towards your path. Hold our hands, Father, because we can't do it on our own. We need you to hold us up and to keep us going forward. And Father, thank you for saving us by your marvelous grace. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, tonight as we take the wonderful word of God, how to prevent arguments, amen, tonight. And we're looking at two things, amen. We look at the cause of these arguments, how that we're able to take care of those, and we're looking at the cure for those arguments, the reason for the argument and the remedy, amen. And so I thank God at the very start, I think of each and every one of us, no but one has went through life without some type of conflict. And so I thank God as we try to prevent arguments. James doesn't beat around the bush. He gets right into this tonight. And I thank God as he begins to tell us in verse 1, he says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? And I thank God as believers, we look to anything other than the cross that's a strife. And so I thank God, here we look and we realize that the only solution for this problem is every Christian is that we understand that all the things come to us from God through the cross, amen. Making the cross the object of our faith, and it gives us the Holy Spirit latitude to work within our lives in order that we might live the life that we ought to live. As Romans chapter 6 tells us about this as well, amen. And so what causes these fights and these quarrels that's among us? Don't they come from your desire, that battle within you? James says that the cause of arguments is those conflicting desires. What my wants conflict with your wants, and the sparks are begin to fly. And so I thank God, every one of us, conflicts start early in our life, even before you start talking, that baby talk, amen. Have you ever noticed that a baby, if his needs are not constantly gratified, then you know what? He's going to let you know. She's going to let you know. You can argue even if you don't know how to talk. Even as we start out as youngsters, amen, marriage has built in the conditions that we're going to have conflicts at some time or another. Think about the things that you expected of your spouses before you got married. How idealistic and how unrealistic that you were about marriage, amen. What a rude awakening that many of us have had the day that we woke up. All marriages go through three stages. Stage one, it's a happy, happy, happy honeymoon. Hey, stage two, the party's over. And then stage three, let's make a deal. And so at stage three, you've got to learn how to handle those arguments, because it's going to happen at some time or another. There's going to be conflicting desires, frustrated feelings that causes arguments and fights. And so what kind of desires? The Bible makes it very clear here and in other places in Scripture that there are three basic desires that we have that cause us a conflict. These desires are legitimate. The desires, unless they're out of control. And so the God-given desires, but when you put them above other people, and when they become number one in your life, they're going to cause you a conflict. And so what are these desires? Number one, the desire to have. The desire to have, number one. You know, we want to have things, material things. We want possessions. And I thank God that's where we come into verse 2. He says, listen. He says, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You know, I thank God every one of us, such a person is not looking to God, but rather operating from their self-will. You know, the word kill refers to destroying the reputation of another in order to gain advantage, and to do so by slander. And so if you see me looking that way, I'm actually taping that way as well. And so not just looking at you at Facebook, but I'm also looking at another camera that's going to sermon audio, amen. And so I thank God, as we look and realize that God created things to be used and to enjoy. And that's what we're here for, every one of us. We use things and we love people. The problem is that when we start loving things, when we start loving things, that we get the equation backwards most of the time. We start loving things and we use people and we manipulate them. And so, you know, control them, move them around to get what we want, because things become more important in our lives, amen. And it's very easy to fall in love with things these days. Well, all of these TV commercials that are giving us all of these material possessions that are out there today, it's very easy to have a desire to become number one with something in your life creates a conflict. And it's not by accident that every one of us deal with these things. Things become a battleground. We as Americans think the Constitution says life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. But someone asked Howard Hughes one time, how much does it take to make a man happy? He said, and I quote, just a little bit more, unquote. Huh. Someone asked this, and I think, man, the thrill wears off very quickly. You know, we've got to learn to deal with the desire to have. And if you decide to base your life on comparing it with other people, you'll never be happy no matter how much you get. And so just the time to catch up with the Joneses and refinance something. You know, there's always more. And so it's sad. And so we see that there is the desire to have. But secondly, of those desires, amen, there's the desire to feel. You know, I want to feel good. You know, I deserve to feel good out there. I want to be comfortable. I want my senses satisfied. Amen. That brings us to verse 3. He says, you asked and received not, and because you asked amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Huh. You know? And there's a reason that you asked and received not. Huh? You know what? Such a person is not asking in the will of God, but rather from his or her own selfish desires that they're asking from. And so it's sad today. 1 Timothy 6:17, the Bible says God made everything for our enjoyment. But when pleasure becomes the number one goal in your life, if it feels good, do it. You're asking for conflict. And it's going to cause you problems in your life. When pleasures take the place over what is needful, then you're in trouble. And so as a pastor, I'm going to tell you how many times that I've talked with men alone and in confidence alone that no one else knows about that I've tried to help men. I'm not a counselor, but I am a pastor, and I'm a good listener. And so I'll tell you, most of the time I listen from men from other churches, because most of the time those men don't want nobody to know what they're going through and what they're dealing with, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, the desire to feel good creates a conflict. That desire to have, the desire to feel good are two of the desires that when they come at us, they cause a conflict. What do you think people argue about sex in marriage, amen? The desire for pleasure is one of those strong things. And you know what? Resentment begins to build up. And so I thank God. We look and we realize that there's a desire to have. What is that? Possessions. That's right. James says in verse 2 that that's possessions. You know, you want and you don't have. And you long for what others have. And so the desire to have, number one, is the possessions. The desire to feel is the pleasure, amen, that James tells us about in verse 3. And also, I thank God as we continue on, he tells us the desire to be. The pride and the power, amen. Proverbs 13:10 tells us pride leads to destruction or to arguments. And so I thank God. This is pride and power and prominence and popularity. I want to be number one, you know. It's a desire for me first, you know. Every one of us, as we do that, we strive for success. We walk around saying, you know what, watch me, look at me. You know, little kids say, watch me, daddy. You know, we say, watch me, everybody. You know, that's the things that we deal with in life today. You know, watch me buy this kind of car that I drive. Watch me buy the kind of things that I stock my house with, amen. It's a desire to impress somebody. It's a desire to be full of pride and to be number one to impress. And so pride leads to those arguments, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look, only by pride comes contention. Why? I'm too proud to compromise, and that causes me a conflict. And so it's sad that, that we don't want to give in. Have you ever been in an argument where you knew that you were wrong, but you don't want to admit it? Why? Because of pride. Every one of us deal with things like that. And so James tells us that pride, when you think that we can do things on our own, that causes us two problems, amen. In verses 2 and 3, that you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you asked, you do not receive because you asked with the wrong motives. Number one, we don't pray, you know. We don't ask God. We look to the wrong source. We look to people to fulfill our needs all the time instead of looking to God. And it's sad today. He says, I'll meet your needs. Just pray, he says. And when we do pray, we usually pray with the wrong motive a lot of times. We ask things in a selfish way. The Bible has said that everything that I need, God has promised to provide. And he'll meet my desires to have, to be, and to feel, not just the luxury, but all of my needs. And so Philippians 4:19, my God, what shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? You know what? If we asked in prayer, but we'd rather fight than pray. And we'd rather argue about something than go look to the Lord for the answer. You know? And so when I'm upset with Lita sometimes, the last thing on my mind is prayer. I bet a lot of times. We're not thinking about that. But James says that that's the problem. We look to others instead of looking to God, and that causes us a conflict, amen. And so every one of us, I don't think I need God, is how we think sometimes, you know. If I really thought I was more dependent upon God and I needed Him more, I would pray more. And this is what we hear more than anything else. You know, we've lost we have a lot less to worry about and a lot less to argue about and a lot less to fight over if we just prayed more. And, you know, the old song, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." You know? And so James, he talks about conflict with God. Pride not only causes conflict with other people, but it causes conflict with God. And so I thank God as he goes on. He says in verse 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses." He's presenting James using the same terminology as Paul would use, amen. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, the believer is to look to Christ and the cross regarding all of their needs, and to look elsewhere, or rather to look to one's faith to be placed in that other than the cross, presents the person as committing spiritual adultery. And so he says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? If the cross of Christ is not strictly the object of our faith," James says, God looks at everything else as worldliness, amen. He says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Allow me to once again make that statement that if the cross of Christ is not our object of faith, no matter how religious our efforts may be otherwise, it's still looked at by the Lord as friendship with the world. And so this means the believer in essence becomes an enemy of God. In verse 5 he says, "Do you think that the scripture says in vain?" You know, James was quoting scriptures and he goes all the way back into Genesis chapter 15, Exodus chapter 17, Psalm 78, Ezekiel 47, Joel chapter 2 verses 28 and 29. And he says, "Do you think that the scripture says in vain? The spirit who dwells in us lusts to envy." And he's referring to the Holy Spirit here, which means that the word spirit should have been capitalized. And the word lustus here means to earnestly or passionately desire. Oh, I tell you. Oh, what he's envious that he's talking about this passionate desire. The Holy Spirit is envious of any control that the fallen nature might have over the believer. And so he goes on and he tells us in verse 6, "But he gives more grace." You know what? He says, "But he gives more grace," in verse 6, "wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." And I thank God, every one of us, God opposes that proud, but he causes conflict with, I thank God, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And God declares a war on selfishness, other words. You know, have you noticed that God has a unique way of engineering and circumstances to pop our pride, to really get us into a point to where just about the time you think, you know, you've got it together, all of a sudden he puts you in a place where you think that you need him more. And that's exactly how the Holy Spirit works, amen. To be in opposition to God is a dangerous place to be. You're on a collision course and there's no way in the world you're going to win in your Christian life in this. If pride is the cause of arguments, that's the case that James is making here. That I'm going to have my way when I want it, my time, my place. You know, what's the cure? And so I thank God. We first said that the cause of the arguments is conflicting desires. But number two, the cure for our arguments is humility. Humility, humbleness, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, that he tells us in verses 6 about this, that's the cure for the argument, that he says it's humility. But drop down at verse 10. He says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." You know, as we've been constantly stating that, it refers to looking to Christ and to the cross, which is the only humbling process which the believer can truly engage in. But he said in verse 6, he said again, "But he gives more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble." And I thank God, every one of us, the cure for those arguments is humility. We look at the steps of that we have in order to diffuse a conflict, amen. I thank God as we look at those, we begin to look at those in verse 7 because he tells us in the Word of God, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what? To the plan that he's provided for every one of us, I thank God, which is the cross. Remember, I preached about this morning, and it's always about the cross for you as a Christian. As we look to Christ, that what he's done for us at the cross, where Satan was totally defeated, according to Paul in the book of Colossians, amen. He says, submit yourself then to God. Let God be the God that is in your life. Give him control. Put him in charge, amen. Yield yourself to him, hallelujah, amen. Because back in verse 1 it says, your desires that battle within you. James says that conflict that happens with other people, amen, happens because you have a conflict on the inside. You don't get along with other people because you've got a civil war that's going on in your life, amen. And so you don't get along with them because of this. And there's a real issue. The starting point is getting peace inside before you can have peace outside. And so I thank God. That's the thing. You find peace of mind. You find peace in your heart. And the real conflict is really inside of you. Who's in charge of my life? If you're in charge, then anytime somebody comes along that doesn't go along with the way that you want it to go, then you're going to get uptight. You're going to get irritable. You're going to get upset. You're going to want things to go just the way that you want them to go. And when they don't go that way, it makes you mad. But if God's in charge of your life, it doesn't irritate you as much. And so I thank God, as Paul said in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You know, when we've got the peace of Christ in our heart, then we'll be at peace with other people. We'll be at peace with other Christians, amen. And if we don't have this in our life, God's peace in our hearts, then we're going to try to manipulate others. We're going to try to control them. We're going to try to move them around to get them what we want out of life, amen. And so that's the thing that all of us deal with each and every day, amen. And so I thank God, we've got to be able to give in to God, is what he says in verse 7, amen. Submit yourselves then to God. But as we read on in verse 7, he tells us a little bit further, he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know what? That word resist is a war term. It means to be prepared. It means to stand against, amen. And every one of us, I don't care. It's like I said this morning. It's this old nature that we deal with each and every day. I don't know about you, but even though I'm a pastor, I still have this old fleshly nature as one of the enemies that I contend with, amen. And so I thank God. The Bible, as James tells us in the second part of 7, that he says here that we've got to resist the devil and he'll flee from you, is we've got to get wise to Satan. And so I thank God the cure for arguments is humility. So the first thing is give in to God, James says. But secondly, he says, get wise to the enemy, Satan, because he's that. The world, Satan, and this flesh is the enemies that we're dealing with on a daily basis. Every one of us, amen. That we've got to be able to do that because, you know what? The devil loves conflict and arguments, amen. He wants to cause confusion and arguments and stress and hurt feelings. Maybe among family members, amen. A disappointment and anger and chaos. That's what the devil does all the time, amen. He loves doing those things. But James says you've got to give in to God, amen. And you've got to let him have control over those things, amen. Boy, you know what? Sometimes I bet you every one of us has got a hot button somewheres. You know, we just don't, you probably know what it is, and maybe somebody else, if they ever been around you, you know, because of something that they've got some type of personality that all of a sudden, you know, they don't want to be told how to do something or how to present something. And James says you've got to give in to God, amen, and let him have control of those areas of a life. You've got to do some defensive action, amen. And so you've got to resist the devil and realize what he's trying to do. He's trying to stir up things in your family. He's trying to stir up things on your job, amen. He's trying to stir up things in your marriage, amen. And sometimes as he does these things, amen. And so I thank God Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, that we are unaware of his schemes that he says. And so Paul says, wise up, amen. And so get wise to Satan is what James is telling us out of this, amen. As he recognizes the tactics of how the devil operates in all of our lives, amen. And so he does these things as, you know, he doesn't stand around with no pitchfork and a red suit like, you know, the devil ham thing. I got some of that in my pantry right now, amen. Hey, I better quit thinking about stuff like that, amen. But I thank God, you know what? Every one of us has got some wounded pride about us, amen. And so he tells us what we want to hear sometimes. He whispers in our ear and he gives us these little thoughts, amen, that he does. And so it's all kind of stuff that wants to cause a retaliation, amen. And so I thank God, as we're talking about our second point, the cure for arguments, which is humility. And so we said, first of all, we give, listen, into the Lord in verse 7a. But in 7b, he says, get wise to the enemy. Get wise to Satan and what he does, amen. And so we go and continue on because he tells us in verse 8, as we look at this, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, and you double-minded. Once again, you know, ever so, this is done only by faith, whichever makes the cross its object. It's always about the cross because the Lord is the one that took that cross and he bared every bit of our sin and every bit of the load that was upon us and the world, amen. And so I thank God. He's telling us here, number 3, is that we've got to grow closer to God, amen. I thank God. The steps to diffusing conflict is we give in to God. We get wise to Satan, but also we grow closer to God. In verse 8, he says, come near to God, and he will come near to you, amen. Isaiah 26:3, he says, he will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. And so I thank God as we grow closer to God. How does this affect arguments? First of all, how do you grow closer? Get in the Word of God, amen. By going to church. In fellowship, if you can do that. By getting involved in a Bible study, if you can do that, amen. All of these are kind of things that help us grow closer to God, amen. And I thank God, you know, every one of us, we all make amazing discoveries. But I thank God, more time than I can remember, that when I spend more time alone with God, the better I get along with other people, amen. Boy, hallelujah. I tell you, when that one-on-one time with the Savior, praise God, when that argument level rises in your marriage or any means that somebody's not spending time with the Lord, that's simple. We've got to grow closer to the Lord. And so I thank God if you're having a conflict with somebody out there today, I'm probably talking to some young married couples out there tonight, amen. I'm talking to somebody that's having a problem maybe with a coworker or somebody out there today. But I thank God, as Isaiah tells us, that we'll keep him in perfect peace, all those who trust in him, amen. When you spend time with the Lord, you'll turn your thoughts to him, amen. And then you'll get along better with others because he keeps perfect peace in your heart. And you're not irritable, amen. He'll take care of all those things. You know, sometimes when I worked night shift at Atlantic Steel many years ago, when I rode all the way up to Atlanta for about 8.5 years, man, when I was on night shift, there was something about that. I was always irritable. You know, I don't know why. I think because I was more a daytime person. But I tell you, there's always something that tries to conflict in a marriage or whatever. But I thank God, each and every one of us, you know, we've got to work out things. If we draw close to God, he'll keep you in perfect peace, amen. You know, sometimes we might need to get up a little earlier in the morning and start out in the Word of God, amen. Start out before that cup of coffee and get down on our knees, amen, and ask the Lord. Read and pray and notice the difference in our attitudes and our relationships for the rest of the day, amen. You know, sometimes I can talk to a brother and sister in Christ, and man, their fellowship just talking with them, amen. I thank God. I see Sister Gail. There's been many times that Sister Gail George has really encouraged me in the Lord, amen, and talked to me and prayed for me right on the spot when sometimes I should have been praying for her, that she was strong there for me, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, when we spend that time with the Lord, amen, that's the thing, the great promise here, that every one of us, in our genuineness, we will draw closer to God. He says, and he will come near to you, he tells us, amen. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, put your hearts, you double-minded. And I thank God, but he says, you know what? every one of us, he says, we can be able to go grow closer to the Lord if we come near to God, and he will come near to you, the Bible says. And then the fourth thing is be willing to ask for forgiveness. And so I thank God. On this second point, the cure for arguments is humbleness, humility. And there's four steps to diffusing conflict. Number one, verse 7, give in to God. Number two, on verse 7, it says, get wise to the enemy, Satan. Number three, grow closer to God, and that's verse 8. And then the last part of verse 8, be willing to ask for forgiveness, amen. He says, wash your hands. He says, purify your heart. In verse 8, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, without the proper knowledge of the cross regarding sanctification of the saint, it's impossible for the believer to live a victorious Christian life, amen. Each and every one of us, that we got to be able to do that. And so I thank God as we do this, that the Lord can bless us. If we want to change, the only way that we're going to change is to be humble. And the only way that we're going to be humble is to go and to ask forgiveness, amen. It's hard, but you know, if you want to change, if you want to reduce that conflict, maybe the way that you do it is by cracking the door open, by you taking that first step, even if they're primarily, you're the one at fault, and you know that you are. It's a humbling for sure, but God gives you grace to be humble. This morning, I'd read something out of Paul this weekend, and one of the two different scriptures that's on the end of that scripture that Paul, that really stuck with me that I read, is he says that you got grace and truth. And I always say that it's almost like riding a horse when you get in the saddle and one foot is in this stirrup on the left and the other foot is on that stirrup. That he says that you always need grace and you need truth. Now thank God, every one of us, that it's in that relationship, that every one of us, as we humble ourselves, that God gives grace for us to be humble. And I thank God as we look at that, he says lastly, verse 10, he says, well, let me go back up to verse 9. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness, he says in the Word of God. You know, it refers to us having looked to other than Christ and the cross, because to be afflicted and to mourn and to weep, amen. He's telling us it refers to that true repentance, which means that we confess our sins of looking to other than the cross, that we're seeking forgiveness for those things in our life each and every day. That we've got to repent, not only for the bad, but for the good as well. And by that, I'm referring to our dependence on the good things for victory in our lives. And yet, I thank God, what the Lord did for us, he set the greatest testimony example. Many of you have got a good mother or dad that set an example in front of you, amen. Mine's my Grandpa Bailey. Boy, I tell you, you wouldn't see it by looking at me. My Grandpa Bailey had that Indian in him, and man, my goodness, 6'5", you know, man, I tell you, but boy, he believed in the power of prayer, and man, I don't believe there was not a conflicting moment in his entire body. And I learned so much by praying with him before I would leave to come back home in the summer times when we got out for school, amen. But I thank God, God doesn't want you to keep you down on the ground all the time, even though he says, humble yourself before the Lord and he'll lift you up. The way to honor is humility. And this is similar to what I preached about this morning. And so I thank God. I used to think that the way to be honored by everyone is, you know, that you never admit that you're wrong, amen, but that's not the way you do it. You know, every one of us, we've got to be able, because everyone makes mistakes at some time or another, and we've got to have that humbleness and forgiveness in our hearts, amen. Which of all of these desires really cause the most conflict in our life? Maybe it's the desire to have, and you're so busy out there making a living that you forget to make a life, and a day in and a day out to make all of the money, but yet your relationship is falling apart. Your desire to have a greater relationship, to be around somebody. You know, that's the thing that I realized a long time ago, that making money ain't the most important thing. Being there for your families, amen. Being there to support them, amen. I thank God that each and every day that I've got to be more and more around my wife because of her health, amen. And we've got to be there for each other. Our families have got to be there for each other. And so I thank God this is one of the greatest blessings tonight. I hope tonight this has been one of those messages that man, it's been more a learning process for all of us. But I thank God, of all the desires that we have, we ought to have a desire to want the Lord to be more in our life. And I thank God James is really smart about this thing, that he tells us what we need. But tonight, as I close out, I want to pray for each and every one of you, whatever that you might be going through. Because here in the first three verses of this chapter, four times it says that it's talking about being unsatisfied, that you want but you don't get. You strive for but you can't have. And you're unsatisfied. Many people in life are unsatisfied with the way that they're living. The secret of satisfaction, believe it or not, firsthand, is, listen, in Jesus Christ. Is in Jesus Christ. Give yourself to Him. Find your needs met in Him rather than in other people. And He'll never let you down. I promise you that. He'll never let you down, and He'll never forsake you, praise God. Father, Lord, as we pray tonight for the needs, Lord, for the hearts right now that are listening, Lord, I pray that whatever their situation is, whether it's conflict, whether it's arguments, or Lord, whether there's hard times that they've fallen on among themselves, I pray, God, that they would let You help them resolve these issues. May they get along with You in their relationship. May they get back in the Word of God. Take time to be with their families other than going and hustling and making that dollar and that money and that paycheck every day. Yes, Lord, we got to pay the bills. But Lord, there's nothing like fellowship with You, and there's nothing like fellowship with our wives, our children, our grandchildren, and our families, and having that time with them, Lord. Because, Lord, we are setting an example and we're planting seeds in their lives. And so, Father, I want to thank You for those that are just tuning us in tonight. Thank You for those 18 people that was with us tonight, that came over to Cass High School to walk all the halls, to pray in front of the band room, all of the gyms, all of the chorus rooms, the principal's offices, and all of the places at Cass High School this coming year. For the many that are going through addictions, Lord, for the many that don't know what the love of Christ is, even at home, Lord, I pray, may they see the love of Jesus at that school. Lord, may they see it in the teachers and the faculty that care about them, that want them to learn and to start out their lives, because they're the future church of tomorrow. And so thank You tonight for this great honor of breaking the bread of life under Your sheepfold, all of People's Valley Baptist Church, Lord. And thank You tonight for this great honor of speaking out of the book of James. And Lord, thank You for saving us by Your marvelous grace. Be the great physician that is needed in the lives of all of our good family and our friends and relatives, Father. And be the one that represents them in their time of trouble, and Lord, in their time of heaviness of heart and grieving. Continue to be with the U. Bradley family and all of those that are grieving that we're not aware of. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.